Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
So, Jamie, Sophie, Jemima, thank you so much for joining us here at Advertising Week. I'm Ruth Mortimer, and we are going to have a great discussion about the amazing stuff you guys are doing in the world of podcasting. But let's go back, not just to your workout this morning, but to where you started life on TV. It's the TV track here at Advertising Week today. But you've really pivoted. So tell me about how did you go from the world of Made in Chelsea to running a podcast business?
You take it.
So
if you see Made in Chelsea, I apologize. A reality show about being posh. Terrible idea. I did it for 10 years. Sophie did it as well. And it was an incredible show. It was to be on, to be a part of. It was about our lives filled with drama and all these different things. But what I very quickly realized is that you have no control over the edit whatsoever. You're edited in certain ways. There is no control there. And that frustrated me in lots of ways. Plus, I was always taking ideas to TV channels and saying, hey, here we go. Can we make this? Can we make this? Can we make this? Same thing. What a great idea. Okay, we'll think about it. We'll think about it. So that became frustrating. So I decided to set up a podcast. This is about 8 years ago. It was called Private Parts. It was focused around my diary, and it was a place to have this freedom to discuss what I wanted to do in a forum, in a medium where you can just have this amazing discussion for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, if you're Joe Rogan. And you can do it like that. And so that was the beginning. And yours, Soph?
Mine was we got engaged, and you one day said, can you meet me in the studio? And I turned up and you sat me down and you said, we're just going to try our podcast. And I was like, okay, no one's going to listen. And then we did Newlyweds, which was about the journey of us getting married and our engagement. And it did really well. People listened. And then that was when you started Jamper, when we started Jamper.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about that, because that was where Jemima came into the picture. She's not also married to you, I am right?
No.
But almost.
Almost, it feels like it sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us a little. In 2021, you guys set up Jamport Productions. You've got shows, Newlyweds, you've got Wednesdays, you've got Great Company. Why Jamport? How did it all begin?
Okay, well, I'll say, so it began because I was creating podcasts, I was creating shows, and I think that content creation is going to be the next. We're spending so much on our phones. If you look at your screen time, some people are up to 10 hours, so we're constantly on our screens all the time. And there was something from my side which was about vomiting creativity. Like, that's what I wanted to do. So that was the sort of reason behind Jampot, being able to have a space where we could create and create shows that we really love and are authentic and real. I needed someone to help me do it, so I met Jemima, who was a producer at something else.
Yeah, or Sony. Also Sony.
And I said to Jemima, I have this idea to create a production company called Jampot, where we want to create authentic, real shows which follow these journeys, rather than just two people sitting and talking about what they've done the day, actually following stories, real storytelling. And Jemima, you really said yes.
Well, for me, it was such an exciting opportunity, because I came from a really big production company who'd been acquired by Sony. And often in podcasting, you pick a famous person and you sit them down in a room and you get them to talk. But the thing that really excited me about Jamie and what he was doing is that there was this opportunity to make wholly original formats and concepts. And like you say, like, vomit creativity and really try and push the boundaries of what podcasting is, because it is this really fast growing. It's a bit of a Wild West as well, which I think is really exciting, because it means that you can try something that no one's done before. Might work, might not, but it's kind of, there's like a free swan about it. And that's what really excited me about coming and working at Jampot.
And just quick, what's really exciting about that, right, is that television we know is in this sort of tricky place, right, where, you know, advertising revenue is down in lots of different ways. There's a lots of different platforms to advertise on. So TV is struggling against all these platforms. Podcasting is a place where you can really pilot stuff. You can just try things and you can see if it works for not huge expense. And that was a really interesting space. And format first. We really focus on format. You can focus on talent, but at the same time with talent-based shows, you're always, you're under the talent's, you know, pressure to want that if they want to continue it. So we focus on formats, which means we can then basically create a format show and sell it to different platforms if we want to.
That's really interesting, although I assume Jemima banned you from calling it vomiting creativity.
I say that all the time, and it's probably the worst image.
Yeah.
So I apologise to everyone.
That's coming out 2025, isn't it?
Yeah. Vomiting creativity, yeah. That's it.
So let's talk a little bit. You mentioned formats there. So one of the things that I think you guys do really well that the industry will be particularly interested in is you really match the formats with the promotion. So you do really clever things. So you develop a format and then you've done lots of crazy things. So you've done, I think, marketing stunts in train stations. You've done lots of social video. Why is that so important?
And you want to take this one?
I think because everything's becoming so visual with TikTok and all the different social medias out there, people like to see things, and it's taking away from it just being audio. So it's just reaching a bigger market, and with all the young generation being on TikTok so much and everyone's like attention span lasting just a second, it just reaches a bigger audience.
Yeah. And also I think the thing is that the audience, there is so much competition out there.
Yeah.
Right. And what used to happen was, is that you could put something on Channel 4, you could put something on a podcast and people would probably listen to it or see it. Now that just doesn't happen. So you have to stand out from the crowd. And I got told an amazing thing once, which I by a guy called Rory Sutherland. Amazing guy. Ogilvy.
He spoke here only on Tuesday.
That guy, oh my God, I would drink whatever he's drinking because it is unbelievable. He told me an amazing thing. He said, you should never follow logic. And I went, well, what do you mean? He said, well, if you're flying a plane or parking a car, following logic is a good thing because it gets you back in a safe place, a place where everybody else is. If you're setting up a podcast or setting up a brand or a business, never follow logic because it gets you back in the same place as everybody else. So with all of our shows, we think, well, if we're doing a show about this, how can we make that completely separate? What can we do that makes it stand out from the crowd? So we launched a show called Great Company recently, which is a podcast where I interview people. There are no gimmicks. That's the whole point of it. But our launch and marketing stuff was me naked on a horse. That was the only, and we said, this is the only gimmick we're giving. So that made it quite appealing and interesting because it was something different. So we always look how we can launch things differently to everything else.
Do you sign off all the artwork, Sophie, where Jamie's naked on a horse? Stamp of approval.
Yeah, I was like, perfect. This is what we want going out.
I'd also add that podcasting, you know, it's evolved from radio, which is media, which has existed for a really, really long time. So with Jampot, I think we've been able to bring together ideas from different mediums. So if you look at maybe some more long-standing podcasts, they're kind of a bit more, they're doing more old-fashioned way of doing things or smaller ways of doing things. In audio, we always work with really tiny teams. So normally you might have one producer and an assistant producer, and you're doing the development, research, production, and the editing at the end. So they're really small. Whereas with Jampot, we kind of wanted to get these bigger like TV ideas. And so we did a stunt in a train station where we did a flash mob. I've never seen a podcast do anything like that. So at Jampot, we're just kind of like trying to like push out of the box of what podcasting can do. And like I said it before, like it's the wild west of things, and like people aren't doing things like that. So we can be the first to do them too. So trying to use our expertise, and that's like part of our team as well, who come from different backgrounds, to push out what is a podcast? What can a podcast be?
I love the way that you're kind of really creative and authentic. And in fact, Sophie, when you were in lockdown, one of your podcasts, I think it's Wednesday, came out of you and your co-host, Melissa, sitting at the kitchen table and trying to work out what would make a great story to tell. Tell us a bit about that one.
So, you're exactly right. It happened in lockdown. Me and my friend Melissa, we were actually filming me in Chelsea at the time. So we were in a bubble with each other anyway. And Jamie was fell off example of hearing us talk all the time over a bottle of wine. And he was like, you guys should do a podcast. And we're like, no one's going to listen. Anyway, we bought a Yeti mic. We sat at my kitchen table and we just press record, and it's really evolved now. That was a slow burner. It started off with, you know, just a few thousand listeners, and now we have around like 700,000 a month and a really loyal community, and it's just kept evolving. And we started with just audio, and now it's on YouTube, and it's all videoed, and it's on TikTok, and yeah, it's really evolving and growing.
But I think also the winner with your one was it came from this, I think we're desperate for authenticity, right? Like we are, everything has become inauthentic in lots of ways, and authenticity is what we're craving. And Sophie and her friend just sitting there at a table talking about the things that they're going through, breakups, makeups, all those different things. And also just for the love of it. I think sometimes we get confused. We go into things because we think, okay, this is either going to make us money or a brand or whatever it is. And yes, that's the end product. But actually, you have to love it first. Yeah. And you guys didn't even care about numbers. You didn't care about money. You just loved doing it. And that was the real winning formula.
And it started with sort of no structure, because we would just sit and talk and record it. And, you know, and I think that's kind of the beauty of that one.
Yeah, and I'm just really impressed, because during the pandemic, all I did was try to make sourdough and muck it up every time. You guys launched a podcast. Wow.
I ate a banana cake every day.
I made a lot of banana bread.
I ate it one every day.
Oh, that's actually another podcast launch, vomiting the banana bread I made in the pandemic.
We ate so much, and then I knew something was bad when I looked in the garden and Sophie was doing weights with wine bottles. I was like, it's all gone wrong here.
We all had those bleak days in the pandemic. Not all of us made podcasts out of it, though, so you know. And actually, Jemima, let's go back to, you mentioned your team and the people who are behind Jampot. Talk a bit about how you guys built a team when you were building a podcast business together.
Yeah, so I think we're 10 as of maybe a week ago. So I started, it was just me, which was very fun.
Little you
know,
gospel.
You're doing the highs and lows. I'm taking the bins out. I'm also, you know, going into some scary meetings as well. But now we've really, we're kind of expanding. So we've got our audio production team, but we've also got our video team is kind of probably our fastest growing part of it. So we now have three video editors, because one thing that we put lots of energy, especially in Jamie's new show, Great Company, is the trailers and making, you know, lots of podcasts have clips on social media. I'd say that Newlyweds, I feel like, was one of the first that like really got it right. I don't know if you guys have, but like probably like December 22, I just remember before I started working for you, and I don't know whether my phone was listening to me, but everything I saw was Jamie and Sophie talking on podcasts, and like it like would make
how annoying
every time. I know. Don't get enough of you. No, but now lots of people are doing that kind of thing, so that's one thing that we put a lot of energy into. So we have a team of editors. We also have in-house marketing and social media are these new kind of areas that we're going into. So that, again, is that thing I was saying about getting people from different parts. We have some people who we chat to from more of a TV background as well, who kind of help with some development of pilots. So we're thinking with that mindset as well, like, because everything has to be visualized. It's really grown in the last year very quickly.
And also, Jemima has always been about diversity as well, to make sure that we are always just thinking differently all the time. And that's really important for our team.
Yeah, definitely in creativity. Like if I'm from London, so I have my set of my experience of the world. If I'm talking to someone who's from the north or the west country or a different part of the world, they're going to have a totally different opinion on what looks good. And like everything is better with more people on it and more opinions. So that was another thing when I came in, I really wanted to have people from all over the country and different ages as well. We've got quite a young team. It's really normal to have a really young team in creative industries, but we've also got some slightly older people as well. So just all of that melting pot. Everything is better when you work together. And also another thing with the team I always have to say is like, you have to be, it's really hard, but being humble with your ideas and being able to like drop your shit. If you all like my idea and then someone else says something that we like and everyone hops on that, you have to be like, okay, let's get on board with that one. Not be like, but what about this thing I said 5 minutes ago? So that's another thing as well.
I think that's something that every creative in the room can relate to. Like, their idea wasn't really better, but sure. So tell us a bit about, obviously, we're here at an event. We love live events. One of the interesting things you guys have done is not only create the podcast, but then spin that out into events too. Talk to me about how that happened.
And you can take
that. Okay, so we... Sophie and I have always wanted to sort of always expand the idea of these shows. And actually, creating a live show is always an interesting space because your audience, you know, they either listen to you every single week or they see you on a screen or whatever it is. It's that there's much more of a deeper connection by creating these live shows. So Sophie and I just did a live tour of our Newlywed show. We went to 7 different locations around the country. Birmingham, not so good. But Dublin, amazing. So that was...
Birmingham was good. We went on a Sunday night. So it turns out a crowd's really different when they're all drinking.
Yeah.
Who would have known, Sophie?
And when you come out to an audience and you go Birmingham and then they're silent, you know, in front of 2,000 people, it's pretty daunting. But it was an incredible experience, and we were able to meet all of the amazing people who listen to our podcast. Yeah. And I think that's the great thing about podcasting. You get to, you know, you get to really harness talents, right? So you get people who are maybe shy or nervous or whatever, and podcasting really lets you expand, lets you talk about your emotions a different way. And then, you know, Sophie in particular had never really done shows in front of, did the Apollo 2 nights in a row, right? That's 3,500 people talking to, and it was just an amazing experience.
Yeah, it was really amazing. It was quite surreal to see, you know, like you think people listen, but really those people are listening to you in their ear every week in, week out. Like, they know everything about you and they're really on that journey with you. So when you meet them, they feel really connected to you and you feel really connected to them. And it's just really, it was really cool.
And they're like, my God, you have a face in real life.
Yeah. They're always like, you're so much shorter. And I'm like,
Jamie, I was the same thing. The public is cruel. So let's talk. So you've taken the show out on the road, but you're also creating lots of new shows, new formats, new ideas. And one of them is Now We're Talking Baby. But tell me some of the new stuff you've got on the pipeline. Don't worry, tell us everything. We're entirely trustworthy.
Okay. well, as we said before, and Jemima can, with Jemima and I are always about, we think format is really important. IP is really strong. Yep. And I think we see that now in linear television, where some channels probably didn't really think about that. They were just creating shows and that's what it is. And that's probably the issue that we have, is that Netflix done an amazing job with it, right? When you go to Netflix and you sell a show, they say, well, we're buying the whole IP, we're taking it. Right, because they know where that's where the value is.
Yeah.
So that's what we try and do as a podcast company. We try and create format shows. So and we always look at places which are slightly missing. So I'm sure lots of people listen to My Dad Wrote a Porno. Great show. We created a new show once that had stopped called Write Me Dirty, which was about two friends coming on and writing erotic fiction about each other, which landed pretty well and was great and was amazing.
Yeah, it won. What was the award it won? Most Inappropriate Podcast.
Yeah. which is great. And then we are creating a music show at the moment with Paloma Faith, which is touch wood, it's going to go through. That's all about music and interviewing. And we're doing another one which we're in chats about, which is you know, interviewing someone now and then in a year's time and putting it together. And so all these different shows, we're going to have a format behind it. And Now We're Talking Baby is sort of our bread and butter, much like Nearlyweds was and now Newlyweds, which we follow a journey. You know, when Sophie and I got married, I found it so interesting that we were going to shops and finding our wedding scent. I was like, what is that? Who cares? But apparently people did. And so we followed as a podcast. And Now We're Talking Babies with Cam and Emily, who are on Too Hot to Handle, a TV show on Netflix. And we follow them until their birth of their child. So we followed those type of shows.
I think it's really interesting that you've spotted that those universal stories really appeal to people, but now you're moving into new areas. Is there one kind of theme that unites all the kind of new ideas you're having?
I think a lot of them are the kind of life. That's a terrible answer. But they all kind of fall under an umbrella. Like, you know, we're really interested in maybe doing a dating show. So they're all kind of... dating, there was an idea about house buying as well, weddings, babies. Oh yeah, for some
It's all about those situations where everyone goes through things in life, yeah, right? And so what we try and find are little pockets that people relate to, whether it is, you know, buying a house and finding it tricky. That's an interesting space, especially at the moment. So following that story. And what we do is we create these ideas. I then bring them to Soph, and Soph basically says, that is terrible. Oh, no, that's okay. So she's great, the best sounding board because she has the good taste. So when I say we should do one about, you know, this and that, she's like, you cannot do that. That is a terrible idea. So that's how it kind of works in the creative space.
I like it. So you're the team and she's the creative director.
Yeah, she's pretty much the boss. She says if it's a good idea or not a good idea.
Yeah, she's updating her LinkedIn with creative director.
I absolutely am.
Creative director vomiting creativity. So as a bit of a nerd, I always like to think about the data. So Ofcom released a study this year, and it showed that nearly two-thirds of people who are exceptionally young, 18 to 34-year-olds, I actually don't know any of those, they're discovering new podcasts on places like YouTube, social media, kind of less traditional places than they ever have before. So how does that affect how you help people find your ideas?
Yeah, it's a great question. There's a really fine balance between it, right? Because if you look, as Jambot, we're a media company, right? But we're heavily focused towards the audio space. Podcasting is audio. That's what it is. That's where the revenue is. You know, that's where you want your advertisers to go. If you're creating a podcast, you want them to sit on your podcast, beginning, middle, and end, those places. When you're creating visual shows like YouTube, for TikTok, for all those different things, you're actually taking your listener away from where you want them to be. So it's a fine balance between the two. What you want to try and do is you want to try and tease an audience on a TikTok, on a YouTube short, on those different places, but also then get them back to where you actually want them, which is on a podcast. And the way you do that is different ways. You tease them, you give a ending card, you... offer them something a little bit extra. But actually, I think sometimes people get confused that views mean that success.
Yep.
And actually, it doesn't. And people are always looking for that viral view. And I actually think a viral view is actually can be sometimes be a negative.
Why?
Well, because I think I think slow growth is more appealing. If you look at bands or you look at TV shows, you know, you want to be the hidden secret. The reason why Netflix does so well is because you go, God, have you seen Baby Reindeer?
Yeah.
And it's word of mouth. And so it's the little secret between everyone. You kind of want shows to be like that as well. You want it to be someone's little secret that they're telling you. Then you feel much more attached to it. So that's what we try and do. So most people are heading for the viral hit. And of course, that's great in lots of ways. But I generally think that can be a negative sometimes as well.
I like to put all my secrets, like listening to your podcast, just out here for, you know, masses of people. So secret with quite a lot of friends. And speaking of the guys in this room, lots of people here are brands and they'll be wondering, how can they reach the kind of audiences that you guys reach? I think you're particularly strong with that millennial group. So what kind of advice would you give them?
I think ours, like, in all our shows, Jamie spoke about it, is that authenticity and that storytelling and really understanding. We're really trying to connect with our audience and just make them care. So with Newlyweds, I think the thing I think maybe you guys were really surprised about is how much people really cared about your wedding. Yeah. They really wanted to know.
And they trust you.
All those details. And with Cam and Emily, with the Now We're Talking Baby, people, our first episode, was we did the gender reveal, and it was, the numbers on that episode were absolutely bonkers. I had no idea how much people really cared whether they were having a little boy or a little girl. Podcasting, I feel like it's that there's something quite intimate about that, because it is slightly more long form, the full episode. The storytelling and the really connecting and trying to make maybe people care. And Jamie, lots of the things when we're developing ideas, you think about, which I think you're really good at, is there's like four emotions and like trying to hook onto one of those. So there's one idea that Jamie ages ago really wanted to do about fear. Which I hate all things horror. So I keep being like, let's just shelf that one because I'm too scared to make it. But like trying to like pinpoint that in what we're doing, I think, is what we try and do.
I also think, like you said, like
being authentic and trusting your audience is really good for brands. And I think with a podcast, not only does the host read the brand like that, reads the brand
advertising. It's bespoke, right?
It's bespoke. So the listeners already trust you, and then they're really relying on you to, you know, tell them about something and that they use, and then it's sort of authentic and trusting. And rather than just, you know, on TV, typically branding is with some random paid actor. You know,
yeah, completely. That's exactly sense. Right. And also, which is interesting, I think it's like, okay, so advertising on TikTok's great, right? But it becomes irritating. We've all seen Huel, right? A million times. And okay, we'll drink it. But we swipe through, right? All the time. That's what we do. We constantly swipe through. Podcasting, I truly believe this. And maybe I'm biased in the game, but just as a listener myself. Yeah, okay, maybe you fast forward the first ad, whatever. But when you're on your run, you're sitting in the car, you're on your walk, you do not fast forward the ads. And if you listen to great podcasts, and we won't use ourselves, but someone like Adam Buxton, his ads are so genius that actually you're looking forward to listen to the ads. So as a sponsor, you're like, this is great. Not only are you getting the host to read so it's authentic and real, you're getting a great creative, and also the audience aren't skipping. And so I think for me, podcasting is still the hidden gem that people are not going for. You know, Cereal, for example, when they first started, what was the Cereal ad? That MailChimp. I still remember it, not from that, but you know what I mean? It was one of those amazing things. So I think podcasting is this place where people still don't realize how effective it can be.
I can see now the guy from Huel, he's like, dear Jamie, taking your points into consideration. You never know.
I love you.
Could make
You're
that
great.
Happen
it's
today.
A great brand. I do like it.
Okay, so we're almost out of time. 30 seconds left. So I'm going to finish up. I always like to finish with a quick fire round to see how much you know about each other. You are married. You had a series. Hopefully it's something, but we can't be sure. Jemima, you might be out on a limb here. Okay, so I've written down some data facts. So try and get as many correct as you can. Okay. But honestly, there's no real penalty. So, you know. How many episodes have there been of Nearly Weds and Newlyweds?
Combined?
Oh, it was like over a year. Did you over a year before you got married?
Maybe.
So that's... No consulting, Jemima.
Oh, sorry.
Cheating.
Oh, do just I skip it? 108.
Very close, 118. She knows more about your marriage than
well
you do.
Done.
Okay, Jamie and Sophie, how many live shows did you do together?
8, including
Strong.
Last
you
year.
Got it right. You paid attention. You went to Birmingham. Which of your podcasts have got the most watched and listened to episodes of all time?
What podcast?
Yeah. Which episode?
Which episode? Our wedding episode.
It was your Newlyweds' first ever episode. They bought in before the marriage. Once you got married, it was all
they didn't care.
They knew you ended up. They knew you ended up together. And which piece of wedding day advice on TikTok generated 16.8 million views?
Oh, blow me.
Yeah.
You are 100% right. If you didn't see it, you're going to have to discover that for yourself, guys. And who is the youngest guest that Jampot have ever worked with?
I think it's Gareth and Ollie brought their babies on.
Oh, so great. Yeah, that's probably
well,
it.
They do it on mic, so don't know if that counts.
But they're under a year old.
They're still there.
They're still on it.
Yeah. That? Or,
do we have a singer? Who do we have?
Katie Bazer's young.
Katie Bazer.
Yes. So for the win. She knows it all. Okay, last one, final one. What gender was in the gender reveal?
Oh, they're having a baby boy.
And oh, I know baby the name. Boy.
Do you know the name?
I know the name.
You can't get better than that. What a lovely note to end on. Jamie, Sophie, Jemima, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.